reports in some of the magazines and articles that are being printed, people are concerned about the moral condition in America today. A few days ago, I was sitting in a doctor's office waiting for an appointment, and I picked up a magazine by a certain denomination in Texas, and it had to do with making better homes and the divorce rate increasing. But not one time did I see in any of those articles statements made by Jesus Christ as recorded in Matthew 5 and also in chapter 19 of Matthew. Friends, I think we need to get back to what the Bible teaches. Now then, in a sense, I would say I'm happy to talk about the marriage relationship from the standpoint of the Bible. But to be fair and honest with the Word of God, I'm going to have to mention some of the things that are contrary to the teaching of the Bible. And I know that I'm going to say some things that are not usually said, but I believe that the Word of God justifies it and that good people today want it said, and especially for our fine young people, our boys and our girls. God created man in the beginning. Male and female created he them. And he gave the law, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And our Lord referred to that in teaching during his personal ministry. In a way, I said I was happy to have the privilege of speaking today concerning marriage. But again, I'm sad. When I think of the condition in America today and some of the things that we read about, it's heartbreaking, isn't it? It really is. And so I have to commend the elders here for having a desire that the Word of God be mentioned concerning that which is right and pointing out that which is wrong. These lessons will be given in all parts of the world by means that are provided here, the tapes and other things. It was God who ordained men and women, and he placed within us that desire for association. We know that when woman was created, God said, "It is not meet for a man to live alone. I will make a help meet for him." Now, we sometimes hear it quoted, "I'll make a helpmate," but the word isn't mate, it is meet. And when we see some of the later translations, they put suitable, answering to, like a fit companion. And that's the idea. And so as individuals grow up, they have that desire to have a companion. It is the honorable way to bring people into the world today. God created man. Adam and Eve were not born, but their children were. God gave the law of reproduction and established the home. It has often been said God performed the first marriage ceremony. Well, I guess he did. Anyway, God united them. And he realized that a man needed a fit and suitable companion. And so the home was established from that standpoint. We need to recognize that today. In Hebrews 13:4, the writer said, marriage is honorable among all, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Two men living together, homosexuality, they cannot produce children. And that's a wrong arrangement in the sight of God. Now, I recognize that some states are trying to, as we'd say, okay that arrangement. But it isn't scriptural. It isn't right. It's wrong. And they should avoid that. Even though the state might okay it, as we would say, God does not, because it is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. And in 1 Corinthians 7, to the people at Corinth especially, Paul would say, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband or companion, and that's the way it ought to be. Then, too, he mentioned the fact that the kingdom of the Lord, or service to the Lord, should be first in the lives of individuals. If here is an unbeliever or a pagan, and he wants to make this wife, we will say, suitable to attend the pagan services or worship, and she's a member of the church, and she doesn't want to do that, she's not supposed to do that. No, not at all. God does not demand it. And she should not try to be forced to forsake the Lord in order to please this man. Well, Paul said, if he departs, let him depart. The wife is not under obligation under those circumstances in any way whatsoever. Much teaching needs to be done today concerning a good marriage and a good and happy home and family. Brother G.C. Brewer wrote some good articles several years ago in the Gospel Advocate. And then Tom Warren wrote a little book, Marriage is for Those Who Love God and Love Each Other. And I have read those statements and appreciate them. But there are young people today who are growing up who have never studied the teaching of the Bible. Malachi said that God hates divorce, and it's not right. But I understand in some places in America today, there are about one divorce for every two marriages. And that's a terrible ratio, isn't it? Maybe in some places it's about one for one. We don't know. I have a preacher friend in Kentucky with my home congregation where I grew up. And he said to me one day as we were talking about it, I would say that 95% of the homes are involved today in some way or another with divorce and remarriage. Now, just think about it. Think about the homes. Even preachers' homes. Some of their own children and grandchildren divorcing and remarrying. Maybe they say, well, I have a right to remarry. And the Lord does give a right, as we want to read in just a moment. But friends, the increase of divorce and remarriage is terrible. Here are the magazines that are printed and available as you check out of grocery stores. And here's a picture, her third husband, his fifth wife. It's marrying, divorcing, marrying and divorcing, marrying and divorcing. And that's what our young people are seeing today. And that's what's taking place in the world. We know that cannot be right in the sight of God. Several years ago, 60 years ago, I went down in the Valley of Texas for a gospel meeting. Now, I know that congregations today are not having gospel meetings like we were having back in those days. But anyway, usually the visiting preacher is asked to make a talk Sunday morning, like this hour, before the worship service. So I have the habit of just talking about a good family and a home and boys and girls growing up, not drinking and cursing and immoral act and smoking and things of that nature, and probably mention the Lord's law concerning marriage and divorce and remarriage. After the service was over, a good man as a member of the church approached me and said, "Brother Cotham, I do not know how much the elders are going to pay you for this meeting, but they won't pay you too much." He said, "That lesson that you gave this morning was worth all that they pay you." Well, I thanked him for it, and I realized that there are those today who want the truth of the Lord proclaimed and taught, especially for boys and girls who are growing up today, and for young families as they are living here upon this earth. Several years ago, I guess about 60 years ago too, I attended a funeral service. It was in West Texas, and a large family. Here was a man who had been an elder of the church for a number of years, and his widow was sitting down here, and the large family. He said, "Every one of his children, boys and girls, are members of the Lord's church. And two or three of them are elders. And those who are daughters, about all of them are married to those who are elders of the church. And then as the grandchildren have come along, they too have been baptized. And they are members of the church. Every one of them." And then he said, "That's very unusual." And I think he was right. I don't know what he would say today if he were living and in that condition. But I was sitting there and I heard him say that. Think about the homes then, or the children and the grandchildren, faithful, devoted, dedicated in the service of the Lord and living the Christian life. Now let's turn to the language as given by our Savior and read what Christ said. First, we'll go to Matthew, the 5th chapter. And in verse 32, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." Now then, later, Jesus was asked by some concerning marriage and divorce, as we read in Matthew 19. And he said to them, "Well, have you not read that he that made them in the beginning made them male and female, and then said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh?" Well, there are no more twain or two, but one flesh. Now notice, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Now, sometimes we talk about the preacher saying a ceremony, and we say, "Well, he tied the knot." Well, in a sense, from a legal standpoint, I guess that'd be true. But it's God who ties the knot. what God has joined together. God joins them together. God recognizes them as now united and tied together. And man doesn't have the right to change God's law. In other words, if God ties, he can untie the lawmaking in this state or any other state. Cannot tie in that sense. God joins together. And what God joins together, a man shouldn't come along and say, well, you're not married. You're untied. You're free. And often an individual, maybe a young girl or a young man, will say, well, I'm not married any longer. I've got a divorce. I've got a divorce from him, or I got a divorce from her. I'm free to marry again. How do you know you are? God tied you, and God unties you. Now then, God recognized that physical death, of course, would untie the individual. The widow is united. The woman is married to her husband as long as he lives, but if he dies, she's free to be married again. Only in the Lord, wrote Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now then, God has given this one thing. An individual may commit fornication, live that kind of life, then the person may have the right as a companion to obtain a divorce and put this person away and remarry. But suppose that doesn't happen. They just don't get along. And so he says, I'm going to divorce you. Well, she says, okay, do it. I'll marry again. He marries again. Okay. He's living in adultery. The woman he marries is living in adultery. Here's the woman. She remarries. She's living in adultery. And the man she marries is living in adultery because that knot has not been untied by the Lord. And that's the condition they're in. People don't understand that. But that's what the Lord said. And young people, that's serious, isn't it? That's the only one, adultery or fornication, in addition to death, that the Lord has given. I don't care if the state has said, you have a divorce, you're free, marry who you want to. God doesn't say that. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Now let's go on then and look at verse 9 of Matthew. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. Why are they in an adulterous situation? Because they are still united. And it's a woman living with somebody besides her legal husband. And he's living with somebody beside his legal scriptural wife. Now, that's how God placed marriage. Several years ago, Brother James Baird, who worked hard to get Oklahoma Christian College established, he wrote a book, But I Say Unto You, taking the language of Jesus and the various statements that people often have concerning it and teaching the truth of the Lord. In my classes at Brown Trail, I recommend that the young people obtain that book and study it and teach from it because young people need to know what the teaching of the Bible is. The Apostle Paul said to the elders of the church at Ephesus when he was leaving them, "Brethren, I have taught you day and night, sometime with tears. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." So forth. And then he wrote to Timothy his final letter, and he said, "Timothy, you preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. I'm going to leave soon." And he did. According to tradition, he was beheaded under Nero, the emperor. But he charged Timothy to preach the word. Friends, I don't want to be lost. I'm going to go to the judgment just like everybody else. And every preacher needs to realize it. I don't want the Lord to say, "Why didn't you tell people the law concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage?" Well, Jesus, I didn't want to hurt their feelings. I don't think that would pass, do you? The Lord wants us to preach it. How many sermons have you heard preached on this subject? How many lectureships have been conducted on this subject? Now, people need to know. They need to know. And I don't want to be lost. I want to teach the truth. Several years ago, a man came to me. I think the woman he was courting sent him to me. She had been married before and divorced. This man was a good man, Christian man. And he talked about it. "Well," I said, "now here's what the Bible says." "Well," then he said, "wouldn't be anything wrong with me to have association with her, would it? Eat with her and visit?" I said, "Of course not." But I thought I knew what would happen. Short time after that, they went some other place, and the preacher married them. He set the ceremony for them. They didn't ask me to do it because they knew I wouldn't want to. No, not at all. Now later, I moved from that congregation. Did you know that that congregation made this man one of the elders of the church? He's passed on now, but she's still living. I have been to congregations where the preacher had been married and divorced and remarried, where his present wife had been divorced and remarried, and the song leader had been divorced and remarried in the same congregation. Many years ago, in my greeting, I was first in Oklahoma. One of the good elders said to me one time, speaking of a congregation nearby, and one of the elders who had been divorced and remarried, he said, "Well, he may have had a scriptural right to remarry, but I doubt the wisdom of making him an elder of the church." And I shall never forget that. There may be certain things that are right that might not be advisable to use in a congregation. And I hate to see the time coming when so many congregations or having elders and deacons, Bible school teachers, preachers in the pulpit, song leaders, married, divorced, and remarried. No wonder these good elders have selected this subject to be discussed. Friends, it's serious. It's very serious. And as the home goes, so goes the nation. Then good parents are interested maybe in times of their children marrying the right person. Remember the story in the Old Testament of Abraham? After Sarah died, he sent his trusted servant over to the area where his people were, who believed in God, from Canaan. Well, they found Rebekah, and they brought her for Isaac's wife. And Jacob and Esau were born. Well, we are interested in our children marrying good boys and girls and having good families and being faithful in the service of the Lord. I know we are. But now just think of the homes. I could mention home of preachers. What about their children? What about it? Now, you do not know as many preachers, I know, as I do, because I've traveled and go to various places. But I could mention today of preachers that I know, their children divorcing and remarrying. And that's the reason why I said it grieves me to talk about it. And yet I know that the Lord wants the truth taught, that all of us are going to die one day and we're going to the judgment bar of God and to spend eternity after this life is over and the judgment day comes. Several years ago, I was with Dorsey Traw in Thailand. Dorsey was with me the other year here. Well, he told me one of our good girls is planning on marrying, going to get married Saturday morning. And that was about Monday afternoon. But the young man is a nice young man, but he hadn't been baptized into Christ. He's not a Christian. And I've encouraged him to obey the gospel, that a good world ought to have a good husband, a member of the church. And I looked for him to come and to be baptized, to come forward. Well, that night I preached, and he did come forward, and he was baptized. When Saturday morning came, we had an outside wedding service. It was in the springtime over there. And Dorsey said some things, and I was sitting close. And then they asked me to step up and to lead the closing prayer. Well, I did. And I took them by the hands like this. And Dorsey translated for me. And I said a prayer in their behalf, that they might be faithful and devoted to the Lord, to the church, to the work of the Lord, as long as they live. Well, Sunday morning came. I got up in the pulpit. There they were in the service. And then we had a lunch together. And I looked across at a table, and there they were sitting. I walked over to them and greeted them, and I said, I'm so glad to see y'all in the service this morning. That's the way it ought to be. I want you to have a good Christian home. I don't think I did wrong. I don't believe I did. I think we need to encourage our young people to think about marrying a good Christian, devoted person in the service and in the work of the Lord. Then, too, here's the idea that people have sometimes. Well, you can marry and divorce not being a member of the church. But when you're baptized, then you are to keep the one that you have. Oh, is that right? I didn't know the Bible taught that. Anyway, they have that idea. And so then you're not to divorce and remarry somebody. An individual says, I repented of that. And I said, I won't marry and divorce anymore. Well, what is repentance anyway? I sometimes give this illustration. Here's a man who's been stealing cars every now and then and selling them. Maybe they're going down into old Mexico. I don't know. But anyway, he has one. He comes here to church. The preacher preaches about repentance. Repent or perish. He comes forward. He's baptized. He says, I'm giving up stealing. I'm not going to steal anymore. And then he changes clothes in the dressing room and goes out in the lobby and puts his hand in the pocket and takes out the key and gets in that car and goes home and keeps the car. Did he repent? I don't think he did. Do you? No, I don't think so. But that's the way that people have it today. Oh, so many things could be said. But beloved, God loves us. And he wants us to do right and go to heaven when this earthly life is over. Now here's something else, too. When Joseph was in Egypt, the wife of Pharaoh, the emperor, encouraged him to have immoral act with her, and he refused. Then later, she grabbed his garment, and he fled. Then later, when her husband came in, looky here, I've got his garment. He tried, but I refused. And her husband believed it, and put Joseph in prison, that old dirty, nasty prison, for 2 years, because a woman lied on him, because he would not do what she wanted done. Friends, there are temptations that come, but God was with Joseph, and he was exalted later in the service of the Lord. Well, so many things I could say. But anyway, may God help us to love each other and to help people do the Lord's will, that heaven may be our home at last. Personally, I like to see preachers manifest love and kindness to older people. Suppose they're having a funeral, and you are preaching, and you can say, well, Mary George was a very faithful man, wasn't he? And you too had good children. You look forward to being together in heaven. Or maybe it's the mother, and you can say, Mary was a good person and a good faithful mother to your children. Y'all were good people, and we love you. And you look forward to heaven when life is over here upon this earth. They will love you for saying that. And I think we need to commend people for the years they've been together and for their children who are good and faithful and devoted in the service of the Master. God bless you. Thank you.